her son had been having recurring fevers, 106 every like 6 to 8 weeks. This kid would get 106 fever, no other symptoms. That's it, fever. And so she calls me. She goes, "Can you help me?" And I said, "Yes." And I says, "I want you to start giving him Belladonna 30C, which is another really good ear remedy, but it's also great for viruses. It works to interrupt virus." And I says, "And put pickle socks on him." She says, "Pickle socks?" I says, "Yes. Take white cotton socks, soak them in pickle juice, and wring them out just enough so they're not super drippy. Put them on his feet, and then put wool socks over the top, and that will act as a wick to pull the heat out of his body naturally without suppressing the fever." Well, she called me in the morning. She said, "I was changing the pickle socks every 20 minutes because the fever was so high. It was drying the socks out." She says, "Finally at 2 o'clock in the morning, his fever broke. He never had another high fever again. That was the end of it."
Hey guys, my name is Shayla. Welcome to the Hey Shayla podcast. I went from full-time travel to full-time new COVID mom, and now I'm a mom of two. And holy wow, is motherhood and adulting a learning curve? There are so many decisions we need to make and a million ways to do it right. I created this podcast to interview some of my gurus to share their knowledge and empower you on your journey. Let me be your guinea pig and ask the questions you think everyone else knows. Here, we're a little hippie. We try to do things as naturally as possible. We're open-minded and we don't take ourselves too seriously. But above all, we support one another and work to find what works. If you're into it, you're our people. Let's get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Hey Shayla podcast. Today, I have Sue Meyer on, and I'm so excited to talk to Sue because I claim to do things kind of hippie, kind of granola, kind of natural, but I'm just the tip of the iceberg of this information. Sue, you're the entire iceberg of this. I started looking, stalking you before this, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is, I've sent you to a few people already. It's amazing.
You're funny.
So personally, you're a wife and a mother to 11 children and 40, yep, almost 45 grandchildren. You spend most of your free time in the study of natural medicine with your main focus being on proper nutrition, essential oils, and classical homeopathy.
Yeah.
Okay. And professionally, you're a naturopathic doctor certified in classical homeopathy, cranial sacral therapist, and spinning babies practitioner. Amazing.
That's correct.
You share your knowledge in a variety of ways. You have a podcast, a book, and a course on your website, and you make it all very simple of just homeopathy for mommies.
That's all right.
The book, the podcast, the website. I love that so much. So I honestly can't believe you managed to make time for me because you have a massive family and you do so many trainings and all these things. When I got the acceptance, I was like, oh, I'm so excited to talk to you. So first of all, thank you for being on my podcast.
You're sweet. Well, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate that.
And today I want to talk to you about ear infections in kids, because I feel like anytime my kid has a runny nose, she has an ear infection.
Yeah.
And I know that, and I go to the Cairo, so I know that there's different ways to deal with this. So like I said, you're the iceberg. I want to hear all that you have to tell about it. But to start, sorry, I'm just rambling in the beginning here. Tell me about how you got into this. Like, how did you become a naturopathic doctor and get into all the homeopathy and all of this?
Oh my, wow. Well, first of all, I do have a podcast as well.
Yes. Oh, did I answer that? Yes.
Yes. Okay, we have like 200 podcasts out there somewhere. So if you go back to 2014, I kind of start telling my story back there. And it's not boring to most people, but at the same time, like, life is just a series of phases. And I had my 8th child, and from child 4, I had milk fever with child 4 after playing tennis in the afternoon. She was 4 months old. Oh, so sick. So from that point on, every time, I always nursed all my children and cloth diapers, the whole works. But by the time I got to my 8th child, I had recurring mastitis every 8 weeks, and it was awful. So every 6 to 8 weeks, I would be on antibiotics again. That put my child on antibiotics, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
And so I had started homeschooling by the grace of God. And then one of the dads found out Sue has recurring mastitis. So I thought I was so embarrassed. Come to find out, he was also a naturopath.
Oh.
And a homeopath. And he comes and he hands me this little boron tube of homeopathic remedy. And he said, Sue, next time I hear you get chronic mastitis, next time you take this remedy, you start getting it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I was so embarrassed. So anyway, sure enough, about 3 weeks later, I started with my little spiel, told the kids, mommy's getting sick. I'm going to bed. Called the doctor, called my husband, told him to pick up my antibiotic. And I knew my fever would go up to 105 because I would get really high fevers
oh
really
my
fast.
Gosh.
And so I went to bed and I'm just laying there just getting the shivers. And all of a sudden I'm, oh, what was that thing he told me to take? So I went and I looked at my dresser, found the remedy. I'm like, how did he tell me to take this? I'm like, oh yeah, you have to shake it. And then you have to get a couple of pellets and put them in your mouth and put them under your tongue. And I'm like, okay. So I did that and I went and laid down and I waited for the fever and it never came.
What?
And I'm like, what the heck? Okay, well, maybe I wasn't getting sick. So 8 weeks later, started in again, same thing, called in my prescription. And my husband comes home, he says, I thought you were sick. And I says, no, seriously, I took that stuff again and I didn't get sick.
What?
And I never had mastitis again after that. I think I threatened a couple more times over the years, but I never had it again. It just took it away from me. And so then, I know. So then I got really interested in homeopathy. And it wasn't until my son had meningitis that my husband said, oh my gosh, this is a real thing. And then we had a few years later, our daughter had a severe head injury that when they released her from the Hennepin County Trauma Center, the neurosurgeon sat us down and he said, I want you folks to know the 50% of this type of head injury don't live. The other 50% don't get better. I've never seen a recovery from a head injury this
bad. Oh man, I just got chills.
Yeah. And so and then my husband's like, oh my gosh, you know, so it's just been, thank you, Lord, for the last 25 years. And that's been longer than that. It's been almost 27 years now, but it's just been one thing after another. And my child, I did have a baby that had ear infections. Once upon a time, she's now over 30. I didn't know about homeopathy then. She had just had a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so bad. I sat up with her about 2 or 3 nights in a row. And it was just this constant screaming. Of course, I didn't know it was an ear infection until I sat up with her all night. And I woke up in the morning with my head hanging and I was sitting in the chair and I had her pasted to my chest. And when I pulled her away here, there was blood dripping from her ear. I know. And it was all over my shirt. And I never vaccinated her again because I told the doctor, I said, she's sensitive to something. And so anyway, it wasn't long after that I found out it legally, I didn't have to vaccinate. So I completely stopped after that, which took care of a lot of our health problems in the first place.
Legally, so, is that just in Minnesota? Because you're in Minnesota as well.
No. Well, no, I'm pretty sure most states have either, well, some call it a religious exemption, but it's like even for school, things like that. No, it's just signed consent that you do not want to vaccinate because it's, well, it's not law in this country yet. In fact, I don't really think it's law in, you know, like even in social countries, they still have choices. They will be penalized through their taxes usually and things like that, but they can still avoid it.
Interesting. Yeah. Cause we do delayed schedule and we have run into issues of like daycare where they're like, we can't take you, but we just have to have our doctors write a note.
Right.
We just spaced them out a little bit more and we skip a couple of them and different things like that. But it's been a little bit of a tricky thing, but there is ways to get into daycares and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I never had to worry about daycare either. I mean, cause I was a stay at home mom,
right.
You know, 2 huge gardens, you know, milking your cows, raising your chickens, the whole thing.
The dream.
Yeah. My kids actually thank me today. And they're like, Mom, we are so thankful we know how to work. You know, it's just, thank you, Mom.
Totally. Yeah. And that Midwest hard worker too. You got that on top of it.
Well, my husband and I were both from farms, big dairy farms, or, you know, and so we were raised pitching small bales and, you know, stacking them 7 high on the wagon. Yeah. We know how to work.
Totally. Definitely.
But as far as like, you know, the ear infections and things like that. Yes. A lot of times what happens is, you know, a child, their immune system it's not formed yet. So when they do get a vaccine, like you say, you have the delayed schedule. That's awesome. But there again, there's a lot of doctors that don't promote it anymore. So, you know, I just tell people, if you can find one of those doctors to help you through it, that's great. We have a private membership, Homeopathy for Mommies. And then there's the members corner. A lot of people get on there and we've been having a lot of really fun visitors. And one of them is Dr. Todd. He's a veterinarian from Indiana. And so he's been on with our members. He's a homeopathic veterinarian. He was a regular vet through the Army, Air Force, and then on his own for like 20 years. And then he discovered homeopathy. he said, I love it.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's really fun. And so he tells all of our members how he treats his animals and what he does and how he treats them homeoprophylactically. And yeah, it's very fun. So
does he vaccinate his animals?
Well, I'll let you know, our members, there are state laws, you know, for rabies and things like that. But ultimately, people still have choices. So
interesting.
He helps walk them through that. And cool. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Well, and that's the other, we'll talk about this vaccine for a second. Then we can do this. But the other thing that I briefly heard about, and I didn't even know that was a thing, is there is like, and this is going to be the most layman way to explain this. There's like a homeopathic way to vaccinate.
Oh yeah.
How
sure.
Kind of.
Okay. That's my dream, is to go meet Dr. Isaac Golden in Australia next year, because my son and his family live there.
Okay.
And he only lives 2 hours out of Adelaide, where my son lives. So anyway, my friend Eugenie Kruger, who is a homeopath in Australia, she said she'd go with me.
So
but
cool.
Yes, he has come up with about 25 years ago, he came up with a chart and different homeopathic remedies that are made from what they call nosodes. They're made from the diseased tissue, like say meningitis or whooping cough or diphtheria. All these are nosodes that you can give ahead of time that trigger the body to recognize the DNA of that particular disease. And so you may not build titers, but at the same time, the body will recognize that disease if it's ever exposed to it. And so they call that homeoprophylaxis. Hmm. And so there's a chart, like I said, and you can give routinely every month or every 2 months a particular nosode to help the body recognize diseases. And it's very, very effective. He's got statistics. And again, his name is Dr. Isaac Golden, and he's from Australia. And he has worked very closely with a vaccine laboratory in Cuba for over 25 years. And they've been actually compiling statistics as to how effective homeopathy is versus conventional vaccinations. And I hate to say this, but homeopathy is about 2% more effective with no side effects. And it will stop an epidemic in, like, say, I don't know how many weeks versus 2 to 3 months when they vaccinate a particular epidemic. So the statistics are staggering. And it's very, very interesting. So like I said, he's kind of my hero in the sense of the way he's been compiling statistics, because in homeopathy, good grief, once we use homeopathic remedy to get over a disease or an illness, we kind of forget about it. We forget to write it down. So I tell moms, I says, write it down so you can show this to your mother-in-law when they tell you, you need to get that child in. Just say, we got it under control. I did this and this is what happened. And
right. Yeah. So. Well, and that's what I hope to be on this podcast, is just like gateway information to things. So if somebody like me, I feel like I'm pretty deep into this natural remedy kind of world, but the more I learn, the more I learn that I know nothing.
But, well, I'm always learning too. And the day you stop learning is probably the day they're going to lay you to rest. So that's good.
Go.
Keep learning.
Yeah. But I just want, like, if somebody hears this and they're like, wow, you guys are nuts. Bye. Okay. That's fine. Not a problem. If someone else goes, wait, what? There's that option. I've never even heard of that. And then dives into it. Fantastic. Both options I'm totally cool with, but I just like to like put it out there and put the information out there. So thank you
right.
for kind of diving into that a little bit. Cause that's,
yeah,
it's so interesting.
It is worth checking out. I know I have a lot of clients will come to me and they'll ask me all these questions and I'll say, seriously, just do your, like you said, do your own research,
right?
Look at these doctors that are teaching this and they're putting these statistics together. And, you know, when I went that route, like I said, I had 8 children when I made the decision to no longer give vaccines, because that's when I found out it wasn't really the law. I didn't have to. I could just sign a waiver and be done with it. And from that point on, I never had to put any of my kids on antibiotics again. If they got a tummy ache or headache or earache, I don't think we ever had an earache after that. I know we didn't. But they would still get the occasional flu or something like that. But we managed to get them all cleaned up, and not once did any of them ever have to be on antibiotics again.
So you are a naturopathic doctor. I am not.
Right.
So if I were to not vaccinate my kids, would you recommend that I go like work with a homeopathic doctor or a naturopathic?
It's a good idea too. That's why we started our members corner, because we do have trainings in there and then they can ask me questions so I can work with them. So that's, yeah, I would definitely work with a homeopath. If you go to our website, we have suggestions of good homeopaths that you can work with. But a lot of people, there's a lot of students they can work with. There's schools, homeopathy 24/7. And then there's another one that a lot of our members, because I haven't been taking any new cases lately because I'm kind of full, but
yeah,
we do have recommendations on our website where they can go to find out how to do some of these things. But it's not really that scary unless there's been a lot of illness prior. If you decide you want to start going homeoprophylaxis, definitely work with a homeopath because if there's aggravation, they can walk you through it.
Cool.
And by aggravation, I just mean if there's been a lot of illness, when the body tries to begin healing, truly healing, it will want to bring back something that's been suppressed by antibiotics or something else. And it'll want to bring that back in the form of a memory, not an illness, but a memory. And then it'll want to throw it out naturally. So we talk about suppression a lot in our website, but that's a huge natural, I don't care if it's naturopath or homeopathy, that's a huge topic in the natural world, is how to get rid of things, you know, naturally that have been suppressed. So
interesting. Cool. Yeah. okay. So with the ear infection, from what I'm going to tell you, kind of like what our doctor tells us and just kind of see what you think about it. So they said the ears, like the ear, the eustachian tube. I don't know what the tube is.
Yeah, eustachian tubes.
Okay. Hey, look at me. when you're an adult, they're bigger and they're angled downward so they can drain. When they're little, right. The kids are little, they're horizontal and they're short, which causes stuff to sit in there and get infected.
Right. Yep. Because the whole head, everything is at a different angle because that's why babies can't even, their arms don't even reach the top of their head because their whole body is disproportioned. And so they can, but if there's nothing to aggravate that eustachian tube, but then it's going to drain naturally. You know, it's going to drain into the throat without aggravation. A lot of times, if a child has been like getting like got soap in their ears, maybe there's a possibility, or in their throat, or coughed in water that was kind of, you know, bath water or something like that. Sure, it can actually go back up and cause aggravation. But for the most part, you know, just normal movement, you can drain down the sides of the throat. There's ear acupressure points in front of the ear that will help with pressure and get things moving. But again, it's just even just regular movement. Cranial sacral therapy is amazing to help deal with anything like that as far as drainage. It's when the mucous membranes become inflamed, and a lot of times that can be because of constipation or a virus, a bacteria, anything like that, because the whole mucous membranes in the whole body are attached. And so like a lot of times moms will say, oh, she's been digging her ears so much. She's got so much wax in her ears. I think she's getting an ear infection or something. I say, is she constipated? Yeah. How'd you know? I'll say, because it really does show up. It's so strange. It'll show up in the ears because it's all connected. What? So a lot of children who have like SIBO or, you know, a lot of, you know, candida, thrush, things like that, it can affect the ears as well.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So
that's a whole nother, there's a million things you can do about that. You know, as far as like the bacteria, good bacteria.
I know. I'm like, we're just going to, it's going to be a quick one. We're just going to talk about ear infections. You're like,
I know.
No. So that's exactly what just happened. You are going to love this. My child is on antibiotics right now.
Oh
no. She was teething. I think she got, I'm not kidding, 8 teeth in like a month and just like molars and the whole thing. And so she's been having her finger in her ear for, I don't know, 2 weeks. And so finally I was like, I don't know, maybe it's the ear infection. So we bring her in. Of course it's the ear infection. We literally can't walk into the doctor's office without them telling us that their ears are infected. And most of the time I go, yeah, I know, it's fine. Okay. It'll go away. Like she hasn't complained about it. I didn't even know that was a thing. I'm sure they're red. I'm not concerned about it. And so we just kind of like wait it out. But that she was like crying all night long, the whole thing. The first day I gave her the antibiotics, she stopped. Okay. So I was like, okay, I feel better about this because I feel like she really wasn't pain from these antibiotics. But prior to that, like I said, we go to the chiro. So I know that they can adjust it to help drain. I also do garlic mullein in the ears. I was doing breast milk in the ears. I do tea tree behind and around the ears to help dry it out, I think. What are those? I was told to do those remedies, but I'm not totally sure why.
Well, I like the garlic and mullein. Actually, I have mullein oil. It's a 2-quart jar right now. I chucked it full of mullein leaf, and then I poured in, like a half a cup of garlic, dried garlic. And I have that soaking in the sun right now, and I was just going to divide it up for my daughters because they do use it in their children's ear.
Yeah.
Especially if they're teething, because it will soothe and it keeps the bacteria out. Okay. So no bacteria can grow. So as far as like all the other remedies, they're just, you know, home remedies, or, you know, naturopath might tell you to do those things because they really do work. I will say that when you take your child in, they're really quick to say infection. But a lot of times it's just simply inflamed. And that just simply means if they're teething, all those mucous membranes are going to become inflamed, because that's, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on when teeth pop through. Mm-hmm. And so inflammation is totally different than infection. Infection is when you've got pus and when it's green or it's turning white or something like that. Inflammation is just that, inflamed tissues. Mm-hmm. So with inflammation, you know, you can use, even with infection, there's a couple of homeopathic remedies for children that are famous. One of them is chamomile and the other one is pulsatilla. And to differentiate between the two of them, chamomile, okay, let's do the pulsatilla baby first because they're so sweet. So the pulsatilla baby is whiny and clingy, and they just literally want you to carry them around all the time. And they just want to put their head on you and just cuddle you. And they're perfectly happy in that position, but they can be very ill and they'll just be quiet as long as you're carrying them around. Pulsatilla is excellent for tummy aches, earaches, sore throats, eye infections, all sorts of different things. It's just a really good child's remedy.
So is this...
It's in homeopathic form. So just be in a little tube and we just take pellets. There's sometimes you can get it in liquid or combinations. I like dry pellets. I like to know exactly what I'm giving. If it's an infant, I'll put the pellet on a teaspoon with water and then I'll just give it to them that way.
Okay.
But if it's an older child, they love the pellets.
Okay.
And the other remedy is chamomile. And that is, that child is screaming. They're demanding. You can't wait on them fast enough because even if they just want their plug and you finally find their plug because it's been missing, you give it to them, they're just throw it right back at you because they're hungry. But they also have a lot of trouble with teething, belly aches, earaches, and things like that when they're small. Okay. So either one of those two remedies are fantastic to look at. And then, like I said, the ears and the teeth go hand in hand because they're so closely,
right?
They're on the same block, right? I've had kids with just like constant drooling, and there's the remedy that's good for teeth is Plantago, which is excellent also for that trigeminal ear nerve. So it's really interesting how some of these remedies are so broad spectrum. Hmm. There's a lot of, like I said, the funny thing about homeopathic remedies is that I could write a book. Like, actually, you said I wrote a book. I've actually written two. So this was my first one. And chamomile and pulsatilla are both in here because they're both remedies that I used a lot as a young mother. And then I wrote one that was a lot bigger. I actually
put
this in here. This is 750 pages. This book is beyond acute care. This is, it's inclusive of the first book, actually. And we talk about more chronic things and, you know, more about each homeopathic remedy, but you can write a book about each remedy. And many doctors have, you know, I have a whole library over here and they'll go page and page and page, small booklets on each remedy. It's interesting how much a remedy, when they do a proving of a particular remedy, how much information will be elicited.
Let's take a brief break to talk about Branch Basics. Branch Basics is a non-toxic cleaner. I feel like when you get pregnant, you start learning about all the toxic things that are in everything. And when you have your baby, you want them to have all the non-toxic things. Or if you're maybe washing the toilet while your baby's taking a bath and you set the cleaner on the bath and she sprays herself in the eyes, starts screaming, you really question the things that you're using and you switch to Branch Basics. The thing that I love, other than it being non-toxic, is that you get a concentrate, and the concentrate is for your window cleaner, foaming hand soap. All purpose is for bathroom cleaner, is for your laundry. Like, so for me, that's amazing because now I don't need to shop for all of those things. When one is low, I grab the concentrate. When the concentrate's low, I fill it up, and I know that all of those things are going to be filled if I need them to be. I probably use the most on laundry. Their dishwasher soap doesn't work the best for us, but their OxyBoost, I love. If you're interested in checking it out, go to heyshayla.com/branchbasicspod, and use Hey Shayla for a discount. Let's get back to the show.
One of the keynotes about chamomile is angry fits. And so it's excellent. Like I said, it's an excellent remedy for all children with tummy aches, earaches, headaches, illnesses, runny noses.
Is that also a pellet?
Yep. Yeah. We have like I said, I don't know. On our regular website, we offer like 82 different homeopathic remedies. And in our members corner, you know, they're members of my, they're clients basically.
Yeah.
And so we offer, we have many, many more that we offer in our, in Members Corner, so that, people can treat their families very effectively, homeopathically. And it's, and then of course we have a live forum. It's much like Facebook, I guess, that they can ask questions and then everyone's interactive that way. It's very fun.
Oh my gosh. That's so cool. I love that.
It is fun.
What is the general website that you just said? Is it on your
Homeopathy for Mommies?
Oh, it's on there. Okay. I just didn't see that. Okay. Yep. So would you ever say that you would, that there would be a need for antibiotics?
I imagine there would be.
For ear infection in a child.
For ear infection. Okay. So when I'm treating someone, they've never had to resort to antibiotics as far as I know.
Okay. Well, right. And that's what I'm saying. I think that somebody doing this on their own would not be successful. I think working with somebody, learning these things on their own and doing like, you have to be working someone with someone. I don't feel like it's.
Yes and no. Like, that's why I called my book, because many people told me, don't call it Homeopathy for Mommies, your book, because that's just going to, no dads are ever going to pick this book up. Nobody that's serious is ever going to pick this book up. And I said, that's okay. I says, I have to have my audience that I can feel comfortable talking to. I said, I've been a mother. I've been through it all. Like I said, I mean, I could sit here and tell you hospital stories galore. And when I found out about homeopathy and natural remedies, I wanted to tell the world.
Yeah.
And so that's how all this came about. And so Homeopathy for Mommies, I'm sorry, everything starts in the home. Education starts in the home. Health starts in the home. Everything starts in the home. And if you have a smart mom, you're gold. I mean, you're just going to make it in this world. And so if a mom can learn this stuff in a very simple, timely manner, then the children are going to be healthy. The children are going to be happy. They're going to be organized. They're going to know how to work. They're going to know how to clean. They're going to know how to take care of themselves. And you've got it all. And so that was my audience. And I was happy with that. I was comfortable with that. Yes, we have a lot of dads on our membership too.
Right.
And grandpas even. So it's really, really fun because they care. They're still trying to help their children raise children. And so they jump on our membership and they're like, Sue, I just love what you teach. And I'm like, guys, what I'm teaching is already 300 years old. I just dug up old books and I'm just reteaching it. Just in a way with pictures.
Simply
so that all the old books were written from doctor to other doctors to teach, you know, homeopathy and medical. And so I says, we don't have to know everything. We just have to know enough. And so that's what I try to get across. And so many moms, I'm so excited because we've got, I don't even know how many people are on our forum anymore. I keep asking Joy and she goes, I don't know, but it's so interesting because they're teaching each other.
Yeah.
I had one lady for 2 weeks now and she was told to go to, she said, get into emergency, go get to urgent care. You're too sick. And she's like, I'm so frustrated because I know I can get over this. And what is, other members were just walking through her with this, helping her with other remedies. And so it's just, it's really interesting how everyone just helps each other. And I tell my members, I'm proud of them because that's when you have a community that's going to help you with something, you know, it's, then you can get through it because yes, it is kind of scary to be out there on your own. Stuff like that never scared me that much because I was perfectly happy to, you know, dive into a book and figure it out myself.
Right.
But at the same time, it was already done before me. Just that's where my happy place was, is to discover it on my own.
Yeah. And I think it's just the fear of, if you're in the mainstream.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I'm learning about this thing on my own. They're like, you're reading a book and you're going to cure your child's ear infection. You know what I mean? People are like, you should go talk to your doctor about that. And you're like, no, I'm like, or for me, like I have a friend who does like knows a little bit more than I do. She'll be like, oh, give her this, give her this, give her that. And I'm like, I've never even heard of that. Do you buy that on Amazon? Where do I even get that? Like, yeah, I would use it if I had it, but is it $500? And where do I buy it? You know,
I will tell you. Okay. So when you invited me on here and I looked you up or whatever, and I says, okay, she's a mom, young mom. And so I was really proud of you because I will say, none of my daughters listen to my podcast. My daughter-in-laws do, but my daughters don't.
Yeah.
And they go and they look up other young mothers on whatever. I don't know what they do, podcasts, or I don't know what they look up, but they're always telling me, hey, mom, you know what this one lady was saying?
She probably learned it from you.
And I'm like, everybody has their own avenue of information that they respond to. So I just like sit there and it's like, wonderful, wonderful.
I've never heard of that before. Yeah, totally. Okay. Yeah.
So it is, I'm really happy that so many people though are starting to really care because they're finding out that, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, but 75 years ago, ear infection was not a normal thing. Hmm. It just wasn't. So why? Let's ask ourselves why. And let's get to the root of the problem. And so, but yes, homeopathic remedies are absolutely awesome. I will say another one because a lot of children have thrush. I just had a new grandchild 5 weeks early. And of course, the midwife couldn't deliver. So the mom had to go to the hospital. They put her on antibiotics just because she hadn't been tested. And, you know, as far as for strep B yet. So mm-hmm. It's just a precautionary situation. So they put her on IV drip for how many days? And my, my new grandchild has thrush.
Yeah.
And so I noticed it yesterday and I says to my daughter, what are we doing?
Yeah.
She's doing everything right, but she kind of backed off on treatment. But see, there again, thrush that affects the entire digestive system and affects the ears, affects everything, sleep patterns, you name it, affects it all. And so she knows to give borax, which is a fantastic homeopathic remedy, but it's also as if the ears are stopped up. So like I said, candida can affect that as well. So borax is a really good homeopathic remedy for that. And there's just so many. I mean, I could sit here and talk about all sorts of different homeopathic remedies that are excellent for ears. But if you look in my book, I have a whole section like on this particular book. I mean, both glossaries are quite similar. Obviously, the other one is much bigger. But in here we have just the whole, you know, the ear section and different homeopathic remedies for ears and what you would use them for. And the keynotes are what you look for as far as like homeopathic remedy. Okay, is there fever? Is there runny nose? Is there, you know, is it drippy, clear, cloudy? You know, what's going on? Is it stringy if it's running from the nose with the ear infections? You know, are they pulling at their ear? You know, what are the symptoms? And so we treat the symptoms in homeopathy, not just, okay, my kid has an ear infection. What am I going to give? Mm-hmm. It's the symptoms. And a lot of like the difference between chamomile and pulsatilla, it's basically a lot of the same physical symptoms, but the mental symptoms are different. And once you learn the keynotes, you're in. It's just easy. And I say easy. It is easy once you learn the keynotes of a particular remedy.
There's just so much. I don't even know. Like, yeah. Okay. What would you say though, if somebody, their kids have gotten all the vaccines, they are getting reoccurring ear infections, they've gone on antibiotics multiple times, now their kid has another ear infection and their doctors are like talking about tubes. Like What would you tell them to do?
Okay. Well, first of all, I would say work with a homeopath and would say, get cleaned up. In other words, whenever a child has something recurring, that means there's suppression. Okay. Because what happens is anything that recurs means the body was not able to take care of it on its own without being suppressed. So in other words, a child has an inflammation or possibly an infection of the ears. We put them on antibiotics. What happens? Here, the body's been fighting that infection or that inflammation. And all of a sudden we put on an antibiotics and now, bam, there's nothing to fight anymore. So that is what we call suppression. And then, so the body just pushes it away. It says, okay, as soon as I'm healthy enough, I'm going to bring it back and I'll fight it again. So sure enough, brings it back and it'll try and fight it again. And so that's what we call recurring. And that's just suppression. I had a child one time. I know we're almost out of time here, but real quick, this is a good example of suppression. A mother, she is an ER nurse. Okay. And her mother told her to call me. So her son had been having recurring fevers, 106 every like 6 to 8 weeks, this kid to get 106 fever, no other symptoms. That's it, fever. And so she calls me, she goes, can you help me? And I said, yes, if you listen to me. And she goes, what do I have to do? And I says, you have to go through your house and you have to promise me you're going to take out every single pharmaceutical drug that you have in your house. I don't care if it's Benadryl, Tylenol, anything, you get rid of it. You've got to promise me that. She goes, okay, I will. I says, okay, then call me the next time your child gets a fever. So she did. And here, the fever's on its way up. And I says, I want you to start giving him Belladonna 30C, which is another really good ear remedy, but it's also great for viruses. It works to interrupt virus. I says, I want you to give him Belladonna 30C and just call me. But otherwise, when you plan on giving it to him every 15 minutes for an hour, and then we're going to back off, see if he can go to sleep or what's going to happen. Anyway, and I says, then put pickle socks on him. She says, pickle socks. I says, yes, take white cotton socks, soak them in pickle juice, and wring them out just enough so they're not super drippy, put them on his feet, and then put wool socks over the top, and that will act as a wick to pull the heat out of his body naturally without suppressing the fever. And she said, okay, I promise. And so I says, let me know how things go. I says, and don't hesitate to call me. Well, she called me in the morning. She said it was a horrible night. She said I was changing the pickle socks every 20 minutes because the fever was so high. It was drying the socks out. And she says, and so I'd given the Belladonna. She says, finally at 2 o'clock in the morning, his fever broke. He never had another high fever again. That was the end of it. Because she finally was able to get the courage to let his fever burn itself out.
It is the courage. It is the courage. 106. Yep. Oh.
You have to understand there's different what we call miasms, because some children, why do children run high fevers and not adults? Because children have a very high vitality. And so their body can try and kick things out very easily and very effectively. An adult ran a fever of 106, that's rare because they don't have a strong enough vitality. The body can't fight that hard. So that's why children tend to run higher fevers than adults. And then we have, like I said, we have different miasms. We have I won't even go into miasms now, but depending on their level of vitality, natural energy, vitality within their body, that's how their fevers will reflect that. So
I feel like that's the other thing that you keep kind of subtly touching on is with homeopathy and naturopathic medicine, I don't know, doctors, you are treating the whole thing. So you said the two differences between the symptoms of ear infections are if they're clingy and quiet or if they're loud and whiny. Like, what? How does that happen? You know what I mean? So I think it's so cool that you're also tapping into like the energy of the kid and like just the whole thing, not just like, okay, there's pus in the ear. We will clear the pus in the ear. You know what I mean? You're like, okay, so how's the kid acting? Are there any other symptoms? And just like the whole, that just makes, I love that.
Well, holistic I always approach. Tell moms that you pull in three good symptoms, three strong symptoms. If you can find one that's odd and peculiar, better yet, because a lot of remedies have really odd and peculiar symptoms or what we call rubrics. So, you know, when they write on the form, they'll say, you know, we have this ongoing fever, we have whatever. I'll say, what else is going on? You know, I always want to know what started it. I mean, did they get chills? Were they out in the rain? You know, type of thing. Hmm. Let's find out when it kind of started, what was going on in the person's life, and then look at the other symptoms, because you can't go with just one symptom. You have to have, I say, three good symptoms in order to come up with a good remedy. Because like bryonia, for instance, bryonia is really a huge inflammation remedy. But it's always going to be the patient's always going to be thirsty, very thirsty. And they're not going to want you to touch them. They're going to want to sit quietly and don't even sit on the sofa with them, because that's going to hurt them if you sit on the sofa with them. And arsenicum is very similar. It's excellent flu remedy, and they're going to be super thirsty, but for tiny little sips of water, they're going to say, oh my gosh, I'm so thirsty. They're going to get the big glass of water and they're just going to touch it with their lips and put it back down. They'll say, thank you. They're going to be real restless. They're going to get up and they're going to move around. They're not going to be able to get comfortable in one position. So that's why what we learn in homeopathy about these particular homeopathic remedies. So it's fun. It's interesting. It's never boring.
So interesting. I am loving this as like, I'm very confused and very intrigued. All right. We're going to take a brief break to talk about my flip book. This came when I felt like postpartum was just a gnarly experience. And I retrospectively look back at it and feel like a lot of it came from social media. It came from the insane amount of information coming in, came from a little bit of isolation, well, a lot of isolation. And so I wanted to create a thought prompt flip book. So this sits on in your nursery. It sits in your closet in the morning. It sits in your bathroom. It sits wherever you want. And every day you can flip it, or multiple times a day you can flip it. And it gives you thought prompts that I created to help you get through motherhood in a positive way. So it asks questions like, what are things that I like about my spouse?
that I am grateful for that they do? What is a challenge I've experienced that has made me better? Who are people that I have to lean on? Who are, and just like, so instead of scrolling your phone when you're nursing your baby to sleep, or scrolling your phone when you're pumping, or scrolling your phone when you go to sleep, instead, you flip one of these thought prompts and you think. And it's just so magical what can happen when you put your phone down and you just do nothing. But that's hard. So I wanted to have a thought prompt to think on, to get your mind in a positive place. If this sounds like something you're interested in, you can go to heyshayla.com/shop and you will find it there. Let's get back to the show. Okay, so let's see. Would you say that there are, so I kind of, in my questions, I have how are ways to treat the ear naturally, which we kind of talked about. Do you think that do you feel like the breast milk in the ear does something too?
I know a lot of women have done that. Milk is amazing. Milk actually helps to neutralize a lot of different things. And so, yeah, I mean, it could, depending on what the actual issue is, because it can soothe the inflammation.
Okay, because
I don't think milk would take care of an infection.
Okay.
But it can help to soothe inflammation and calm down that pain.
Okay. It seemed to help her a little bit, but then I had somebody on Instagram, because I always have people just inbound asking me questions or like critiquing things. And she's like, common ear infections are in the inner ear. Your milk is not getting to her inner ear. And I was like, Okay. Well, I don't know anything about that. I just threw some milk in her ear. Like, I got nothing.
Well, I will also tell you, like, when my daughter was in the hospital with this is how homeopathy works, but when she was in the hospital with a head injury it was so horrific, but she just kept getting better. The hospital here, local hospital, had stuck an adult trach tube down her 7-year-old throat. So when they finally decided they could let her come out of the coma, she had short-term memory, because she also had, not only did she have a 4-inch by 1.5-inch, 3-millimeter indentation over his left ear, broke the malar muscle. She had bruising in her front right lobe, so that, you know, she did have short-term memory. That was, you know, she lost her short-term memory. I'm sorry. And then, so when they finally decided to let her, they had to put her on steroids for 6 hours so they get the trach out, and she just kept getting better. I mean, we had doctors coming in checking all, I says, let the kids sleep, for crying out loud. And they were kept checking all her, reflexes and asking her questions, and she just kept getting better, you know, cause I was giving her Arnica. Arnica 30X. I actually have a podcast about it if anyone wants to learn about it more. But anyway, and so 2 days, so 24 hours plus 6 hours. Okay, so it'd be 12. So 36 hours after her head injury that should have killed her initially, they let us go to a different room. They let us go out of ICU. And they said, okay, now you can wash the blood out of her hair. And so I sat down next to the tub, and I was running the water in her tub, and she was just looking at me, those big blue eyes. And she's just looking at me, just blonde hair like you. And she was just looking at me, and I went to pour the water over her head, and I just started shaking. I just uncontrollably, I had cried prior to that, but that I lost it.
I'm about to cry. I'm like,
yeah. And my daughter, Crystal, was next to me. She was, mom, here, let me do it. And so she started, and I just was just shaking. I had to put my hand over my left eye because my eye was twitching. I couldn't stop that. And so my daughter looks at me. She says, mom, I can't hear. This is the head injury. I can't hear. And she would turn her head and she couldn't hear. And I says, what do you mean you can't hear? And she goes, I can't hear you. So I call the nurse. So she come in, and doctors start checking on her and hear her, the ear that was damaged, or the side of the head was damaged. They said, oh my gosh, she's getting a terrible ear infection. And I said, what? They said, she's getting a terrible ear infection. Now here I am in trauma unit. My kid just had a head injury that should have killed her. And now they're telling me she's got an ear infection. I'll put her on antibiotics. I said, you want to put her on antibiotics with a life-threatening head injury? That doesn't make sense. And they're like, yeah, she's getting an ear infection. I says, she's never had an ear infection. She's not getting an ear infection. This is trauma related. And they're like, no, she must've been getting an ear infection before this happened. And I said, no, she wasn't getting an ear infection. You're not putting her on antibiotics. I says, you send me to an audiologist, or send an audiologist here and prove to me she's getting an ear infection, and I might consider antibiotics. I
said, can you refuse that?
I did. And it was Friday night, and I had doctors. Oh my gosh. Then I had one doctor come through, and she asked me if I'd ever heard of homeopathy. And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, well, maybe you should try Pulsatilla. And I said, have it right here. Had it in my purse. And she goes, okay, you give that and we'll get you to the audiologist on Monday. So I pacified her by giving this homeopathic remedy through the weekend. And on Monday, we had to walk down 5 floors and across the entire trauma center. They didn't even give us a wheelchair for our head injury child. And we got down to the audiologist, waited for an hour and a half, got in, and she says, oh, this is trauma related. She says, what's happened is the blood has moved away from the injury site so quickly, she's gone deaf because it's plugging up that inner ear that she can't hear. And I'm like, told ya. So anyway, yeah. And so it moved. They said it should have taken at least a week for that blood to start draining away from the injury site. And hers drained away so quickly that within 2 days she was deaf. That's how fast it was moving out of her system. Wow. So it's just amazing what homeopathy will do when you if you got a healthy child. She had never been on antibiotics. She had never been, she had never been vaccinated.
Yeah.
And she had never been sick other than just a cold or maybe a cough or, you know, I'm not saying my kids didn't get regular illnesses on occasion, you know, go out, get chilled from the cold and might get the sniffles or something like that. But
a lot of our illnesses come from daycare as well.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you have them at home on a dairy or on a farm,
right,
there's a lot of healthy things that they're getting dirty in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they're getting the fresh air and the sunshine.
Yeah.
It's hands down, sunshine's the best cure for anything. Hands down. And so like in Minnesota, I will say that we only have like, you know, 4 or 5 good months of sunshine. And then we're indoors all the time. And unless you have full spectrum lighting, you're in trouble. Because mm-hmm. The body does get weak. It really does.
Hmm.
So.
Okay. This was way more than ear infections.
I'm sorry.
No, in the best way. I don't even know. Like, I'm trying to even think if I can even title this about ear infections. It's so good of just all the stuff. So do you want to know what the last question I have on my list is? When do kids need tubes?
Oh,
so can you see the difference in my perspective of just listening to you and talking to you right now and like what I was writing this list about?
Right. Right.
It's crazy.
When kids need tubes, most of them just fall out so quickly anyway, but I have seen older children that their speech is so poor because they can't hear properly. Mm. And they, you know, if homeopathy hands down is the best way to get rid of ear problems initially. Like I said, I do what I call a vaccine cleanup that was written by Compton Burnett in 1903. It's a little booklet called Vaccinosis and it's Cure by Thuya. And so when I read that, I'm like, oh my gosh, so I used those remedies and I cleaned up my whole family. And that was the end of flu. It was the end of all these different things we had in our house. But some children aren't lucky enough to have access to those things. And so when they have to get tubes is, like I said, when their speech is being affected. And when I say speech, they'll learn to speak. It's just going to be real guttural, okay, like they're deaf. And so when that starts to happen, then it's critical. We need to get that taken care of. And so that, because otherwise, those speech patterns can be lifelong as well. And they can have a really hard time getting over those. So yes, I would say, you know, in a situation like that, but my goodness, if someone has a child with ear problems, see a homeopath. I really would.
So I guess that's the final thing. I want something tangible. Like, is there a way to prevent ear infections? I feel like the ear infection is not even the problem now that I've talked to you. Like, it's more of like an inflammation, because kind of what I started doing when my girls would get runny noses, just a runny nose. I call it the daycare drip because it's just a constant runny nose.
Aww.
And that's pretty much it. Like, there's nothing else that's going on except for this drip.
Okay. Is it clear?
Yes.
Okay. Cause the funny thing is there's different clear drippy nose remedies. And if you look in my book, we have like Allium Sepa is probably one of the most common for drippy noses, and it's clear drippy nose. Natrum muraticum is a clear drippy nose, but Allium Sepa is the clear drippy nose that's actually excoriates or makes the upper lip sore. Mm. And then the eyes can also be drippy. But then there's also euphrasia, which is what we call eye bright. And that's when the eyes excoriate or are kind of acrid, the tears are acrid, and the nose is bland. But natrum muraticum is NatMer, it's basically sodium chloride. It's a homeopathic remedy made from sodium chloride. That's really a good one for just drippy noses as well. But, and so if you give the right remedy for the drippy nose, the ear problems won't,
right,
it won't go into that. So you just treat the symptoms.
Got
and then it won't go any further. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. So, right. So I'm saying, oh, she's got a runny nose. And then I do the garlic and the tea tree and all that, where you're saying Or
treat the symptoms.
Treat the runny nose and you won't have to treat the ears.
Right. Exactly. Okay. I mean, not to say that that's not, you know, the garlic and mullein is always a good, it's always, you know, helpful to keep bacteria from settling in. But if she was exposed to something like that.
But. Are these pellets expensive?
Well, that's why the pharmaceutical companies hate us so much. Because they're more expensive now. You used to be able to buy a tube for $5 and now they're anywhere from $9 to $12 a tube. Depending on where you buy them. I know Fresh Thyme carries them. There's some, most health food stores carry homeopathic remedies. Our website, you know, we have 80 some, all of the remedies that are first book are available on our basic website. You don't have to be a member to get the remedies out of here.
Is that book something you'd read cover to cover? Or is it like
I have moms infection? Tell me they do. Okay. I have moms tell me that they can't put it down. I'm like, that's so funny. But no, each remedy has a section. And then of course there's a glossary, and then there's the, you know, kind of the first aid section. What do you do in case of first aid or injury type of thing? So, no, you don't have to read it cover to cover, but like I said, I have many, many people that do,
but you can go in. And then do you have like a medicine cabinet kit? Or something a standard, get this and this, you do.
Yep. Okay. And then if you go to our website, I think you can sign up for the basic 101 class. It's just the basics of homeopathy, the do's and the don'ts. Because I always tell people, stay away from mints, because mints can cancel homeopathic remedies because of the strong odor. Hmm. We use lemon or tangerine or cinnamon toothpaste. We don't use mint toothpaste. Just so that it's not, you know, we're not constantly having our system, because if you ever had an emergency, you know, I want to make sure that my remedies are going to work. But other than that, don't open them in the presence of strong odor, because they're just, you don't want to cancel them out because they're very delicate.
So intrigued. I'm like, I'm going to get your book before I go to sleep. I'm probably going to order the.
You're funny.
This is way more than I expected, and I'm so excited about it.
Oh, that's sweet.
It's amazing.
Well, I'm excited that there are so many young mothers that are just standing up and saying, enough, I want to learn about natural stuff, and I want to learn how to take care of my family in the best possible way. And because if enough people do that, oh my gosh.
100%. But like I said, it's just so scary to trust these things you've never heard of when you've heard of the vaccines and the antibiotics and all the things that
about it. This is what I used to say, because when I used to have to take my kids in to get them, because I kept their regular schedule, you know, of course back then there wasn't a 70 vaccines. It was only like you had to get 10 or 12 or whatever it was. But I would cry every single time they went to give my kid a vaccine. I knew intuitively, innately, that there was something wrong with this, because I would go home, my kid would get sick, I'd give him Tylenol. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I think about giving my child Tylenol. But anyway, and then I'd say, why do I have to sign this paper? And they say, oh, so that you know that there's a really rare chance that a child could get sick, da 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 da. I'm like, because I say, why do I have to do this? And the nurses would tell me, it's the law. Mm-hmm. They would tell me that.
I get stuff in the mail that says, you're late on your schedule. Your kid does not, if you need assistance in getting your vaccines, we can help you with that. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. I was so angry with the whole system when I found out it really wasn't the law and that I had been lied to all those years. Hmm. Because like I said, I knew inside that it was bad, because every time my kids got sick, I have really sensitive kids and they all would get sick every time. Only one got the earache, but everybody else had pneumonia, bronchitis. I had a child that had bronchitis or pneumonia 5 times before he was 1. Kid you not.
Oh my God.
Yes. That's how sensitive my kids were to their vaccines. And, you know, I had one in the hospital with pneumonia. I had, you know, I could just go on and on and on.
Man. But so then what you're saying is you saw a difference in the kids that the
health
didn't.
Of my children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Wild.
Hands down. Yep. So
amazing. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me, for introducing me to all of this stuff. I can't wait to dive in more. This is so exciting. Oh. And
Well, Shayla, I appreciate what you're doing here, and I appreciate you having me.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, please share with somebody you think would love. And I would be so honored if you would subscribe to the podcast and leave a comment and rating below so I can know what you guys are digging, what you want more of, just connect with you a little better.
Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.